What is happening, good people? I am here with Kyle Smith for a business breakthrough. Kyle, man, you know, little backstory is Kyle reached out to me. Not many people do this, but I got a really good, almost just biography of what you've been through and how you arrived to where you're at in your business. One of my things is business is one of the greatest spiritual journeys. It looks like you're finding that out too, of how it's how the painting business has found you. Welcome, my friend. Tell us what's going on, man. I want to hear a little bit about obviously the story. Let's get into that, but where you're at in your business and where you're trying to go.
All right. Well, first of all, Tanner, thank you for having me here. Appreciate it. I've been seeing what you do for the community, share some great content, you know, get us all thinking. So my journey starts about, as far as painting goes, a little over 2 years ago.
Okay.
Had an opportunity to paint a family member's apartment for a flat rate, and I jumped on it. Took me about 2 weeks, and, you know, the idea just clicked in my mind. I said, if I could do this, even if it's just part-time, it can rival what I would make working a full-time job.
Yeah.
You know, I was 23 years old. I didn't fully complete community college. I didn't really have an opportunity to make, you know, a livable wage with the skills and knowledge that I had. So I took the opportunity, started posting on Facebook. You know, people were eager to help me. They hired me. I painted all my mom's friends' houses, their rooms. And about 6 months go by of just small freelance work. Have some friends in the real estate space. They started sending me referrals. And then on an open house one day, two investors were walking in looking to buy the place. I tried to sell myself. They gave me an opportunity, three-story townhouse, 2,200 square foot, paint the whole thing.
Nice.
Went, checked it out, gave them a price. They negotiated with me, you know, and I went ahead and did it. And ever since then, it kind of took off. I didn't expect to have the amount of work that I've had up until this point. And, you know, just it's a great business. And it's been a lot of work. I've had to learn and teach myself along the way. My skills were minimal when I started my business. And I've really been entirely focused on the production aspect and the conscientiousness of the quality of my work. And that's what brings me here now. I'm getting to a transitory stage with my work and what I do, where I have to change the way I'm doing things because I've been killing myself trying to keep up with everything and trying to meet the needs of my customers and delivering the quality of service that they deserve.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it's almost like, brother? I'll kind of tell you, it's almost like you're walking lightly because you're kind of surprised that you made it this far. It's almost like, and I'm just reading this from what you told me and what I'm seeing is almost, you feel like, not necessarily that you're undeserving of it, but it's almost like you're afraid to lose it. Do you feel that at all?
Yeah, I feel like I'm backed in a corner. You know, I got to go all in. I can't. It's an opportunity that was given to me, you know. It kind of fell into my lap, and I'm trying my best to capitalize on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear is definitely a motivationary aspect of this. Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to go back, right?
I feel like we need that.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, you got to understand, man, this is all about your success is going to be directly proportionate to the degree of which you take risks in business, right? And everything's risky. You know, the fact that you own your own business is very risky. I mean, you're pretty much putting your faith in your own means, which many people can't do. Or don't want to do. So, I mean, already you're ahead of the curve, but the secret here is, like, you know, when I say risk, I'm going to break it down to the most simple way possible. Where are you putting your money, right? Because that's the risk, right? Because at the end of the day, if you have no money, you are risking going back, right? So when we that's kind of the metric we use to determine, you know, our ability to stay in the game, right? Money buys time. Got a bunch of money in the bank where, you know, we can keep this thing going. But if money's dwindling and, you know, we have to feed the engine, we have to start making decisions on, you know, where that money goes. And we don't really have a lot of luxury to risk it, because if we invest in something that doesn't work out, you know, we need results fast. You're at a position right now, man, where it's like, I think, you know, at least for me, I've heard the same story enough to know that you landed on something good and you built something good. And you're like, man, I really need to figure out how to get myself out of the production so I can make it great. Because you know that, I think you told me, how many hours have you worked? What was it, 80? 80 in the last week or so?
I have done 80-hour weeks before, yeah.
And you're painting houses by yourself, you know, which is, dude, it's hard. I painted a house by myself, and I didn't want to do anything for the next week. I was tired, you know, and I didn't want to answer phones when I was on the last few days of that. When people would call me, I didn't even answer it. I was just so tired. I didn't want to deal with anyone, right? You know, it's money like leaving, right? So my question to you, I guess we'll start here, is like, you know, what do you think you need to do?
Yeah, because we always get those intuitions, those internal nudges telling us what direction to go. My answers are rather obvious. I've done minimal advertising. I post on a personal Facebook page with 200 friends, and I have an Instagram account with 57 followers. So
you know that you need to get your name out there, right? What else do you feel like you need to do?
Well, one of my things, I know like the name is the brand, right? So my name is rather vague. It's not necessarily a painting business.
What's the name?
Right. My name of my business is Smith Laborers. I considered myself a laborer. My initial plan was, okay, I'll learn as many skills as I can, try to find guys that I could pay as a 1099, and eventually incorporate in-house employees when and if I was to grow big enough. Now, as I progress further and my skill in painting is more niched, I'm thinking about transitioning and opening a DBA, a doing business as and going, you know, painting, drywall, power washing.
Okay. What else do you feel like you need to do?
Become more organized. Absolutely. Would also perhaps wrap my vehicle. I have a 2007 Chevy van that's just white. And I'm not sure. In the state of New Jersey, you have to have, you know, I have the contractor's license. I have my insurance, but I have commercial plates on it, so I am able to advertise. I've got a business phone. I've done all the prerequisite steps and just never pulled the trigger.
Okay. So a little bit of administrative organization. What else do you need to do?
Mindset. Absolutely mindset.
I think you got a good mindset. I feel like so that was your roadmap, right? And it wasn't clearly defined, right? You kind of generalized a lot of things in that. So I wanted to ask you, because I need to know what direction you're heading in so I can be like, maybe turn left here and go right here, right? So the first thing, you know, that you said that you needed to do was advertising, right? You know that, right? Because at the end of the day, if no one knows who you are, they can't hire you. It's not that paint jobs aren't happening. That phone should be ringing. Right? Because you're a good guy and people need to know that about you, right? But they can't. And people can't know that you're a good guy from just some pictures on social media. That's getting drowned out. No, people are becoming numb to that, right? So the only way you can break through that is through video online if you want to do online advertising. Second thing was really, I mean, we talked organization, but one thing that was kind of shocking to me is that you didn't mention that you need to hire. Why didn't you mention that?
Because I don't have the workflow right now. So as much as I'd love to have an employee, I'd like to.
But here's the thing. I asked you, what do you need to do? Right. And you didn't say hiring. I didn't say you can't do it. I didn't say, what can't you do? And then you'd say hiring. I said, what do you need to do? Right. That's a big thing. And I think like you're so apprehensive of hiring because maybe you've never done it. You don't want the pressure of hiring because that means that you have to find work with a little more, you know, a little more pressure, right?
Yeah, it's one more mouth to feed.
It's one more mouth to feed. And the landscape of hiring is a jungle to you. You've never done it. And you're scared to get someone that's not of standard and waste your time and energy. And you got to work alongside this person. It's scary, dude.
Yeah.
I'm the first one to admit that, right? We'll get to that. So your business name. I think that there's enough painting to go around to where you don't need to do pressure washing and drywall. Those are two other businesses, two separate businesses. Be a specialist, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got to see it like that. You can't say I'm going to be a generalist, because in this industry, people don't want generalists. That's a general contractor. That's why they even call it generalists. If you want to be a GC, yeah, Smith and Co. Laborers might be a good play for you later down the line. But personally, I would say that it should be painting. And it's not so much just for the fact that, you know, it represents what you do, but in the terms of marketing, if I need a painter, I'm not hiring Smith and Co. Laborers, bro. I'm hiring Smith and Co. Painters, because I want the specialist.
Yeah.
See it from your customer's point of view. So yes, you should do that. But I also think until you hit $1 million in annual revenue 2 years in a row, you shouldn't even consider doing any other service but painting. Once you get to that point, you'll have the infrastructure. But to split your time off, dude, you shouldn't even be taking popcorn removal, drywall repair, none of that. You should find a subcontractor to do all that for you. So the only thing you have your team doing is what you guys are designed to do, and that's paint.
Yeah.
There's enough of it to go around. What do you think about that?
No, I think you're right. And it's things that I've heard from a series of people. They're just like niche down. I've used those small things. Like I've refinished bathtubs. Right. I've sheetrocked a few rooms. I get some patch jobs.
Right.
Those are things that help me stay
afloat. Do you know why this is going to be hard for you? Because it all starts with the message that you're putting out to the world. Right? That's what it starts with. Everything's about our message that we put out to the world. Who we are, what we do, how we can serve, right? Your message out to the world is, I'm a laborer. So the world is going to respond to you as a laborer. So the request that you're getting, brother, if you have no work next week and you get a phone call for someone that wants you to remodel a bathroom, what are you going to say to that person? I'll come
quote
it.
That's a great question. Yeah, pretty much. I'd have somebody in my circle go check it out, and you know, we would break it down that way.
You break it down that way, but what if it was something more in alignment with what you do, like popcorn removal or drywall repair or things like that? Would that be an easy yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, the problem with that is you got to build your business in a way that operates with the employee in mind, not the owner. The owner's a jack of all trades. You have a lot of skill sets that are going to serve you later on. But right now, the mindset needs to be, I need to create something that's systemized, scalable, replicable, right? If you hire me to work for you, first of all, to get someone that's adequate at pressure washing, drywall, and painting all in one for an hourly wage that you would feel comfortable paying, and have a good personality and character, shows up on time and wants to be a part of your mission. Don't you think that stresses you out, because that's asking for too much?
Yeah, it's a needle in a haystack.
It is. So what we do is we need to create an environment where they know exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what they signed up for. And we don't put them in uncomfortable scenarios that forces them to do something that they didn't plan on doing or shouldn't be doing, right?
Right.
What happens is then you wind up doing it, and then you're right back in it. Now you just got somebody painting with you, watching you struggle. So you got to, these are the decisions I'm talking about when it comes to money. How you see money is going to make all the difference, right? If you jump at every opportunity because we're in scarcity mode, all that's going to do is it's going to take away time that you could be doing the jobs that are actually going to help you grow and train and build momentum. But if you do a drywall job 1 week, a popcorn removal job the next week, a painting job the next week, there's no momentum being built with you or your team. So the first mindset shift needs to be, I only take painting jobs. And your customers will respond to that. Guess what they'll wind up doing, because they want to work with you? They'll figure it out and they'll give you the paint job. You're less stressed, right? Come on. Am I speaking truth?
No, you're 100% right.
Right. So that's it. But it's all about you, man. Like your business and the direction it goes in is your decision making. You got to be able to say no to the wrong things and yes to the right things. Your decision making is the most important aspect of your business. Everything. Mm-hmm. And that includes risk. You talked about mindset. At least you're aware of it. That includes your risk tolerance. And when you tell me that you don't have any work to keep someone busy, let me ask you this. For the last few weeks, have you been working or you've been sitting around?
I've been working.
nonstop.
No, I'm working maybe 10 to 15 hours a week, and then I've been cutting firewood at my house just to keep busy.
Just to keep busy, right? So, so do you have any jobs lined up in the pipeline right now?
I just bid a job. It's about a 3,000 square foot house, and I was $2,000 last Wednesday. I was $2,000 over the other bid.
Okay.
Somebody undercut
Let me ask you this: when it comes to your pricing, right? And you, it was how big was the house?
3,000 square foot.
Okay. And was it a homeowner living in the home?
80% of the home. Yeah, they would be living in the home. 80% of the home. Yeah, it had a very large living room, 17 and a half foot ceiling.
How much did you bid it for?
$7,000 with paint.
$7,000 with the paint. Okay. How long would it have taken you?
10 to 14 days.
10 to 14 days. Okay. So let's break that down because it's all in the numbers, man. The numbers will tell you everything you need to know. So let's say 14 days, right?
At the most.
Yeah. So for 7 working days, each like 7-7 or 5-5. There's no way you would have done
seven. Yeah.
So these people are living with you. You're there for 2 weeks. Yeah. This is a long-term stay, right? All
right. Right.
So at $7,000, right? Okay, we're gonna divide that by 14. You're making $500 a day, right? That's how much revenue you're generating, right? Now the thing about it is if you were to find somebody that could paint just like you, how much would you pay them per hour?
I've paid guys $30 an hour.
30 is fair, right? To do what you do. Yeah. And you have a heavy lift. You're putting yourself in a position where you need to paint these houses by yourself. Right. And what I want to show you is that when you get a job like that, like you got to understand when you make the transition to bringing on help. Okay. Follow me here. When you make that transition, you got to understand that there's going to be a sacrifice period of you not making money. Right. Because it's an investment in the future growth of your business. Right. So when you think about it personally, I think that you're losing jobs because people know that it's just you and you're telling them it's going to take 14 days.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes they don't mind.
But sometimes they do.
Yeah.
It's
a long time to have somebody in your house.
It is. And if I came in with my team of three and said, oh, this is right up our alley. We'll be done in 5 days. We work Monday through Friday. We'll get it done from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Who has the leverage?
Yeah, you do. Of course. I can't compete with that.
Right.
Right.
So you need to think of that in 6 months from now, you want to have that same leverage because you don't want something stopping you that you could have avoided if you just made different decisions along the way. There were jobs that you had that you could have used as leverage with a hire and got them on that job because it was a 2 week job. That could have kept him busy while you went out and found more work or you went out and recruited more help. This is going to be a very hard transition for you. And it only happens when you do it together. So the next job you get, that's when you should be making a hire is because you have the work for that one person. And I don't know how to describe this to you, Kyle. I really don't, man. But like when you have someone counting on you, brother, you activate a different gear. You care more. I can't tell you how to do that. You just have to be in risk mode all day and know that if I don't find a job for this guy, let me ask you this. How many follow-up calls did you make with that customer that you sold the job to?
Just one. And he told me that he wasn't interested in doing it. And then I spoke with the person who referred it to me. And he told me kind of why I didn't get the job.
Well, the big reason was price, right? So the thing is your business, there's levels to your business. The first level is no work, which you're in the scenario now where you're not growing financially and you're definitely not growing in terms of culture, training, you know, just momentum, right? Like there's got to be some momentum. Even if you work on a job and don't make money, that's better than not working. Isn't it?
I'd say, yeah. If there's another aspect of growth involved.
Yeah, not for you. If you're working on the job and not making money, that's a bad thing. But if you're working on a job and it's at a break-even number, but on that job you were able to pay for an employee and learn how they work, build camaraderie, right? Figure out their flow, get an answer of whether or not there's someone you're going to invest your time and energy into. Isn't that worth it?
100%.
Right. So if you had that guy and you knew he needed a job to do, and when you followed up with that customer, I'm going to assume it was like, hey, did you decide if you wanted me to do the job for you? That was probably the dialogue, was it?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know what my dialogue would have been?
Not exactly.
Well, let me help you. It would have been, Mr. Jones, I sent you an estimate. Did you have any questions on it? No, I don't think we're going to move forward. May I ask what's stopping you? The price was too high. Okay, totally understand. How far away are we from where you thought it would be?
Okay.
Well, we're about $2,000 away of what I thought it would be in the other bids that came in. And listen, Kyle, I liked you, man, but it just, it didn't work out. Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Jones. I could really use this job. I have an opening for my team. I typically don't do this, but let me ask you this. I'm looking at the numbers here. I'll tell you, I would really love a Google review after this one. I could do it for $5,000 if you allow me to earn your business today. Really, I just need to keep my team busy, and it'd be a great opportunity for us. And maybe we can get some social media photos from the job. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah, that would have closed.
Okay. So the thing is, the mindset, Kyle, is you're not doing it for you anymore when you bring on people. You're doing it for your people. And if that's your heart and you want to build that culture, then you're going to win. And here's the deal. Guess what? Now you lock in that $5,000 job. You got 10 days worth of work now. It's no longer 14 days because you're going to shorten the job time. You might make a couple dollars, but guess what? I know you're not going to sit around for those 2 weeks, because what's going to happen is you might get a call 3 days in next week, and you're going to have confidence now because you didn't have confidence before. Maybe you didn't have the work. You're going to be able to go into an estimate with confidence because you have a team member and because you're not desperate for work. You're like, I still got 8 days worth of work. If this doesn't work out, I'll be all right. So when you present a price, you're coming in with poise. This is all due to the fact that you took a risk on hiring when there was no certainty. Marketing when there was no certainty, and living in a state of risk at all times. And that's how you finesse it. I'm just being honest with you. There's no other way for me to sugarcoat this. You need to hire someone. Whether you have the work or not, your ability to make the decision to hire someone and do the right things, you seem like you're a guy that does it by the book. You could be getting Gusto set up right now, preparing, planting seeds, because you know you're going to have to run into the hiring thing. You didn't mention it. So I know that you probably weren't thinking much about it. You ruled it out.
I'm thinking about myself. Yeah.
Right. Stop thinking about yourself. Because when you do your jobs, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about who?
My customers.
Of course. And that's what's gotten you so far. Now transition. Stop thinking about yourself. Think about the people that you can serve. The people that you can give a good job to, that you're going to look out for.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your company. Believe in your vision. Right? Make the moves. Get on Gusto. Set up the account. Get on Indeed, put out an ad. No one's saying you need to pull the trigger, but I'm telling you, you got to learn this process. So when you're ready to pull the trigger, you know what to do. But you have this blind spot of like, I'm not ready. I can't hire. Well, why not? Because I don't have the work. Well, guess what? The way it works is it collides. When you put out to God that you want to bring in someone to serve in your business, brother. Okay. I'm being honest with you. This is how it works for me. This is why I've done it, dude. You put it out, and guess what? The world responds right back to you, bro. You'll find a job that you didn't think you were going to get, because the heart behind getting the job is to serve the people that serve you every day. That's how you win in business. And you're sitting here, you're playing alone, right? And you're not able to convey that same heart to your customers that I can, because it's true. I need to make sure my guys can feed their families now. That's my mission. I'll get taken care of. You make sure enough people have what they have, you will always have what you have. And you're sitting on the sidelines. You're not hiring because you're worried about this, right? So the second aspect of this is lead flow and management, right? You need leads. You can't just hope that people call. It doesn't work that way, okay? you need to allocate $3,000 to a good Facebook marketing agency that can take care of Facebook ads for you. Or you go with Angie Leads. But right now, man, I'm doing so well on Facebook. If you get the right guy doing it for you, bro, it's an instant ROI.
Yeah.
It's an instant ROI. If you, I get 30 plus leads a month from Facebook. One of them is going to close and it covers the whole cost of all the ads. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. I've looked into the SMMA, like the different business models. And I think you're right. It's too much to learn an entire other business myself. I like to keep things in-house, have somebody else do it for me, right?
Yeah, 100%. Have someone else do it for you, man. You need, again, this is another leadership trait is delegation. You have to understand what you're going to spend your time doing and what someone else can do for you. Right.
Yeah.
And it's speed. It's all about speed in business. It's all about speed. How fast can you get to the result? You know, that's what it comes down to, you know? And I think, I mean, again, like, let me ask you this. I mean, just honesty here. Do you have the money to spend on a marketing agency right now?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So what was stopping you from pulling that trigger of getting marketing going?
For a long time, it was the fear and the competency. There was times I didn't feel comfortable with the product that I was producing and putting it out there.
Bro, you're not going to let something go out though. I can tell. You're not going to let something go out that's going to upset someone. You will not take the money. You will make sure it gets done.
Oh yeah. I've showed up and worked on $3,000-$4,000 jobs without taking a penny. Out of pocket until they're completely satisfied.
Here's the deal. You are a few good decisions away from putting yourself on the fast track of success. And I'm going to give you some points right now from what we talked about that you need to do, or else there's so many people that you could serve. I think you're going to be you're a great leader. You do things the right way. You do things by the book. You want to help people, right? You have a passion and a heart for people. Am I wrong? Is this wrong? Am I
okay? No, you're 100% right.
Okay.
So the good news is would give me that purpose.
All right. Good. Yeah. So that needs to be conveyed to the marketplace because people love that, right? They buy into that, right? And that's the same thing for your customers and your potential employees is they attract to that because it's what? Uncommon, right? So you have these qualities, but the only thing that's stopping you is a belief in yourself. Okay. We need to get you to a point where you believe more about your success. And the only way belief happens starts with confidence, then there's action in between, and then there's a belief, right? So the confidence needs to be, okay, if I hire, I'm gonna figure out how to find a good applicant. That's number one. That needs to be something that you affirm to yourself. There's no way, just the same way you said, there's no way you would leave a job without it being 100%. There's no way you're not gonna get a good applicant because of how diligent you will be in understanding how hiring works and recruiting and interviewing. You'll do the research, you'll tap into resources, you'll figure it out, right? Because this isn't rocket science. This is just getting better at reading people and decision-making. That's gotta be step one. Step two is, I know for a fact, if I hire a marketing agency, I will make it happen to where I will elevate my production to the point where we can handle the demand. Right? Because when you hire a marketing agency, it's going to force you to move up your production. It's going to force you to say, man, I need to hire one more. I need to hire one more. I need to hire one more. Right? That's good. You need that external pressure. When you own a business, you don't have external pressure. The only external pressure that's imposed is what you impose on yourself. So you need things like leads coming in, and you need things like applicants hitting the inbox every day. Every single day, I have new applicants applying to Premium Painting every day. Every single day. Why? Because I want to know that there's a pool. There's people interested. Every single day I got leads coming in. Boom, boom, boom. So every single day I'm looking at ways to optimize, get to the end result faster, quicker, better, stronger, right? That's how it happens when you're at a level of 2 million, which I'm at right now, where you're doing $2 million worth of revenue. You have 13 employees full-time. You have people that in your business, they want more responsibility. They want to manage things. They want to do things. And I'm the ultimate delegator. I'm the one that has to set the standard. And that's how you need to be early on. So you can't accept this anymore. I think I'm going to give you my hiring course. I'm going to connect you with a Facebook ad marketing agency. Okay. And I think those two things will set you on the right path, bro.
Yeah. No, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck, bro.
Yeah, you're giving me that fire that I've lost. You know, I burned out.
Man, come back. I tell people to come back, bro. Come back. Come back in a couple weeks. Tell me what happened. And let's reiterate. But here's the deal. I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Like, after this call, get on Gusto. Get that set up. Okay? You need payroll, right? We got to take care of people. Get an ad out on Indeed. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get applicants that come in. Okay? And at that moment, you're going to say, I want that guy to work for me. And then you're going to make it happen, right? And you're going to be able to convey to your customers that it's no longer about Kyle. It's about the brand. It's about the business. Everything will fall into place, but you got to take a leap.
Going to do it. Definitely going to do it.
All right, brother. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much. Nice chatting with you, man. Of course, bro.
Yeah, you too.